Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
All right, Steve, what do you get when you mix shop vacs, grease traps, 2 a.m. start times, and a barber chair?
You get DT, our guest this week. And let me tell you, this dude turned 55-gallon drums in the back of his Ford Ranger into a 14-truck operation. And this guy still finds time to go hunting for months out of the year.
We're talking real grit, real leadership, and a whole lot of grease. DT just didn't build a business. He built a culture where his team takes ownership, solves problems without being micromanaged, and pushes each other to win.
And I'm not talking fluff here. We dig into how he beat burnout, he retained rock stars, scaled into multiple states, and still finds joy watching his son chase his first buck.
There's humor, there's heart, and yeah, there's talks of rats and cats and why your favorite restaurant might be feeding more than just customers. It's that kind of episode.
So whether you're building a business or just trying to build a badass team, you're going to want to hit play. This one's packed with lessons and a few totally inappropriate stories we had to keep in.
Episode 191, Who's Sucking Now with DT? Let's go!
Welcome back to Blue Collar BS, Brad. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle. And how is Detroit Motor City?
You know, it's beautiful, it's sunny, it's not humid. And thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. I wish I could say the same. It messes up my hair way too much here in the humidity.
Totally. I know. You've got to get out the straightener for that. It just puts too much curl in your hair.
Straightener. Yep, you bet.
So, Brad, who do we got on the show today?
On the show today is a gentleman I met through, I believe Tyler reached out to us, his assistant, said, hey, you want to be on the show? DT Tobison. He's a self-made business owner, avid hunter. Goes hunting like 3 months out of the year. For some reason, he's got such a great business that he can go away for 3 months to go do all the fun things. Father of three, started from nothing. He's leading the grease trap industry out on the West Coast, and we are happy to have him here today. DT, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
So DT, before I forget, which generation do you identify or fit in with?
Try not to identify with any of them. I guess I'd technically be a millennial, I believe, 86.
Yes.
I don't know if I follow suit with that whole line of thought, but yeah. I kind of ride by the own seat of my own pants, so I'm not sure I really fall into any generational
stereotypes. Okay. No, you have some definite older generation characteristics to you and behaviors than of the one upon which you were born into, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely, for sure. So tell us how you got started on your journey.
That's a long journey. I was doing some stormwater cleaning, catch basins and whatnot, and a biodiesel company asked if we could do some grease trap cleaning. And I was like, I really don't want to deal with grease traps. They stink, they smell. But being the youngest guy in the biz, I said, sure, why not? And kind of fell in love with it. I was able to walk into a restaurant and shoot the shit with a chef like I'd known him for 20 years. And so, you know, once you get used to the smell, it kind of is fun. You know, you get fed at almost every restaurant if you got a good personality. I mean, I got super fat in the beginning. I was all the way up to like 265 because
holy shit,
was feeding me and whatnot. So it was great. But yeah, that's kind of how it just all started. It was kind of fell into my lap in a way, and then I just kind of took off with it. Built a little pumper out of a rigid shop vac and a 55-gallon drum, and put five barrels in the back of a little Ford Ranger and drove around and pumped all little grease traps out.
Wow. And how many trucks do you have today?
14, 15.
From trucks. A 5-gallon shop vac to 14 trucks.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's been fun.
That's a growth story right there for sure. So how's it been able to find people to do the work for you, and what have you seen And how have you kept them around?
Well, trying to compete with my competitors that are very large was tough. You know, I couldn't offer in the beginning stages, I couldn't offer, you know, the medical benefits and retirement packages and all that. So I had to think kind of creatively. So I started off by doing about 11 paid days off a year. And that was so New Year's and the 4th of July float just on however the calendar falls. We usually take the 5th of July off just because we start super early. So we can shut off on the 4th at like noon ish. So everybody can enjoy the 4th and then they don't have to worry about getting up super early. We shut down for about 4 days on Christmas, Thanksgiving, Black Friday are both paid off. And then you get your birthday paid off, which is kind of a float day every year. So that was one of those little incentives I could afford that helped separate us from the big guys. And then, you know, your week off, paid vacation and all that stuff. It was kind of until about 2018, 19 is when we could actually afford to get medical coverage. So that's when we really started able to bring in some more qualified workers that actually wanted to look for a career. So I'd say about, well, you know, just like all the industry service, COVID screwed up a lot of shit for us.
Yes. Yeah. You're not alone.
Force in the Northwest got really tough. Nobody needed to work. Nobody wanted to work. We had some good guys that stuck around. And then it wasn't until late 23 when everything really changed for the better. We started getting a really good crew. The guys wanted to see my vision actually grow instead of doing whatever they wanted to do. So that was exciting for me because I was getting burnt out just dealing with whiny, you know, people that didn't want to do anything. So it sucked.
But you mean I'm not going to get paid to stay home?
Right. So now it's like the guys want to show up. They want to do the best they can. They want to, I mean, one of my leads, we had about an hour long interview and he asked me how many jobs was my record in a day. And I told him it was like 17 jobs in a day. And he said, all right, I'm going to beat that. I'm going to whoop your ass on that. So I hired him right off the bat. Cause if somebody's going to step up and talk like that, you know, I need to see if you can prove it. And he hasn't let me down once since he started. And that's 2 years now. So.
And how many, what's his max in a day? What's his max in a day?
I think he's at 18 or 19. So yeah, he's got me. So there's part of me that wants to go dust off the boots and get back out there, but I don't know. Maybe I'll just let that one lie.
How are you going to set up the competition to dethrone it?
Oh, I'd have to put it in my favor for sure. get all the easy jobs that have no time restraints and build my own route so I can make it as easy as possible. Call all the customers up that I've had since I started. Say, hey, listen, I'm beating all my guys and this is how I need to do it. So then there's just no way they could ever beat me.
So what you're trying to say is you want to stack the deck to reclaim the record.
Kind of have to, right? So
that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Hey, you gotta know the game to play the game.
That's right.
So so you got 14 trucks. I'm assuming one guy per vehicle, maybe a 2-shift job. I'm not sure. So how many employees do you have right now today?
23 or 24.
And what's that guy? And what's that age? I mean, are they younger, older, run the gamut? What's the sitch on that?
I think our youngest guy's 26. And then we got a couple guys in their 60s, but those are our sales guys. So the workers are. Well,
they don't count. They're the sales guys. They don't count.
The pumpers are, I think, anywhere from 26 to 38.
Okay.
And then our haulers that haul the grease out of state, they're in their early 40s, or one of them is. Mm-hmm. So
how are you working to keep that culture where people are wanting to come to work and keep that culture going so that when you go on your hunting trips and you're gone all those periods of time, right? You're the owner, you're the one taking the risk, that there's not the animosity or the, oh, well, DT just beats us senseless all year long so we can go hunting. How are you keeping that from happening?
I don't really know. It just happens. you know, I mean, I was just gone for 2 weeks and this was probably the first time I've ever gone on vacation and never had a complaint or an issue be brought up to me until I got back. I mean, we got trucks that broke down, trucks that had to get towed. I didn't know anything about it till I got back to the yard. So that was pretty relaxing because all that would have done was stress me out on my trip. Instead, I was able to relax for once and not have to worry about that. So my team's really good at just figuring shit out on their own and making things work. You know, I mean, I try to let them have as much free rein as possible when it comes to things. And that might be one of the reasons why they're able to do it for me when I'm gone, is just not micromanaging and over controlling them, just letting them kind of run it how they see fit. And, you know, they know my level of what I expect. And frankly, they all kind of handle it their own way, but the way I'd want it handled. So it's pretty cool.
So going on that topic of you were able to go away and fully enjoy because your team executed, how long did it take for you to get the team in place to be able to do that?
13 years. So,
and what changes had to happen for that to take place?
And COVID's not the answer.
Yeah, no, communication. I think that was our biggest thing we lacked, was internal communication. You know, the drivers would be out doing their thing. Then the office staff, even though we're all in the same building and not very spread out, it was people just always assumed somebody else was doing something instead of actually talking. So once I hired my CFO, Jackson, he got the priority of communication dialed in. And I think since then, he's just hit a year with us. And that's really when the communications took off. I mean, he's been a phenomenal input to the company. And so it's just, you know, with him being able to lead the charge, Matt, our operations manager, you know, those two guys can run willing, you know, free will. And, you know, the Ashley and Rachel in the office, they handle their part departments like flawlessly. Mm-hmm. So everybody's kind of running seamlessly when I'm gone. There's not a lot. I mean, it's grease trap pumping. It's not super crazy.
it's important because if it goes wrong, it's not good.
No. Well, and that's the other problem. We do more grease traps in a week than, well, I'd like to see somebody that beats us on grease traps. We're averaging 600 at minimum a week on grease traps. So,
whoa.
What's that from a market share perspective? If 600 a week is there, what remains for you to go get?
We're about a third of the industry for Washington State. We're just shy of 4,000 restaurants or commercial kitchens. So there's roughly 17,000 in Washington. But we're moving into Oregon and Idaho right now. So we're expanding our service areas pretty big.
That's great.
And as you're expanding, and I'm assuming you have multiple offices.
Just one right now.
Okay. How do you keep the morale going, knowing you're expanding and bringing on new people? How do you keep that morale up for new hires and for existing employees?
I think it's all going to stem from bringing them on at our corporate location in Sumner, training them here, and then I'll probably see which guys would like to move and start running those new satellite locations. Because if I'm scared to bring on outsiders to run a satellite, I would rather bring one of the guys I trust and I know will run it the way I see fit and move them over there. So I think that's really the only way to see this grow and sustain our culture and sustain how we do our work. It's a tough industry. We're a trust industry for the most part, right? Grease traps are in the ground. Nobody sees them. A lot of the times restaurants aren't even open when we pump them. So there's a lot of pumpers out there that are doing wrong by these restaurants. So that's why we take 4 to 6 pictures of every stop to make sure we're showcasing everything we do. And then that way the customer believes in us. They give us keys then. And so they give us a lot of trust. So I think in order for us to sustain the growth into new regions, I got to move one of my leads or a tech that's looking to move out of state. One of the pluses is Western Washington, not a lot of people want to stay in. So, you know, they want to move out. So I think that'll be easy to find guys to move out of state. So, or to the other side of the mountains where it's rural.
So is that plan then just to have the one guy, one truck in those regions, or is it to? Yeah.
So those 14 trucks, we've got two spares right now that are going to get moved out of state or to our satellite locations. We'll run everything from Sumner and we'll just send a guy for a week, go pump a route until it becomes a big enough route to justify the expansion down south. I mean, Oregon's only 3 hours from us, so it's not like it's a super crazy drive. And I mean, we're driving to Oregon every day anyways, so, you know, it's just, it's nice. A quick little jaunt for us.
Mm-hmm. You made mention early on about sharing, people are sharing in your vision and going forward. So how are you communicating your vision and expectations on a regular basis or strategically, or even if it's tactically, is it one-on-one? Is it all employee get together, powwows, cookouts? How are you making sure that
every month we pretty much shut off pumping and we do yard day. And then we have a company lunch or breakfast, depending on what we want to do. We give out employee of the month awards, the wow cards from customers, talk about the ins and outs. And then we pull the drivers all off to the side. We have a chat with them, make sure we're all on the same page. But, you know, I kind of float around the entire company and, you know, not one person is in a different position in my mind. Everybody has the same ability to talk to me and share. I get to know. So like we went to the professional bull riding. We took everybody, you know, that was able to make it and their families. So, you know, I try to have at least one or two events every year that includes everybody and their family, even for Christmas. Like we were shut down. We do a big Christmas party, you know, free drinks, everything. And it last year was a blast. Last year was pretty fun. but yeah, I think
Tyler, do you agree? Does Tyler agree it was a fun party?
Tyler wasn't here for Christmas. He started in March, so he missed it. So he'll get this year for Christmas.
All right.
All right. Fair.
But yeah, I think it's just more so, you know, I don't want to ever be the CEO that's not involved in the day-to-days with their, you know, with the company. So I think just me being out in the shop, talking with the guys, shooting the shit, you know, that helps build that chemistry for us to be able to grow as a team, you know, and that's where my guys will sell it to bring on. I mean, one of the coolest stories we have is my barber for a few years. He ended up, and like, granted, I don't sell my company to come work for it, because when you're at the barber chair, you're just bitching the entire time about staff, about this, about that. So he's got to listen to my side of the story. But then when I started buying all my guys one haircut a month for my barber, so they would just go to him. They're the face of the company. So I figured, you know, we work godforsaken hours. Why not let them get a free haircut monthly to keep them nice and clean for showcasing us, right?
Nice.
Well, the guys ended up selling the Jace, our barber, and he was like, November of last year, I thought he was shooting the shit with me, like just pulling my string about coming on working here. But yeah, he was dead serious. He went and got his permit and everything. And I was like, all right, I guess you start the first week of December. So, and he's been an absolute rock star. I honestly wasn't expecting him to be such a stellar pumper. And then
did he bring the chair with him? So
I bought him a barber chair. So now we have a barber studio. And that was the one rule I said, you cannot stop cutting my hair. And so, except that's why I'm wearing a hat today, because I tried a new hairstyle and it didn't work. So,
well, I mean,
you're young enough, it'll still grow back. Yeah, probably. Right.
Yeah.
I don't have that luxury.
It's that straightener that you put in that.
Yeah,
That's it.
It's the stress of working with you, Mr. Doyle. That's the problem. I mean,
there's always that. There's always that. So, how have your employees kind of evolved over time to take more of that kind of ownership or buy-in approach?
They push. So like the drivers, they push each other to be better. And that's one of the biggest things. I like competition. And the guys are really hard on each other. So like Evan, he's one of our leads, and when he's training a guy, if he starts to feel like this, the person's not going to work out, he's straight with them. He's like, let me know if this is not something you do, I'll pull over right now and you can Uber back to the yard and get your shit and go home. I mean, it's flat out, you know, just, these are our expectations. You know, the guys are waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning to start their shift. It's very easy for somebody to oversleep their alarm.
Yeah.
But it puts a lot on us because we got to set up all these routes before. Rachel, my billing specialist, she wanted a little bit more of a role in promotion. And so she asked me and I said, if you want it, take it. It's yours for the taking. But if you're going to take that position, you better fucking own it. And she's done nothing but own that position. You know, same with Ashley when she took on running our used cooking oil division. She had no clue what to do, but she's owned that like a boss. And I think just giving the staff the ability to want something and make it their own has been just instrumental. You know, it goes back to micromanaging. I don't want to micromanage. I don't have time to micromanage. So just allowing in the freedom to be able to take whatever that position is and just run with it.
So would it be fair to say that you're allowing your team to run towards something instead of being afraid of doing something?
I would say, yeah, 100%. Yeah, just run it how you want to run it. I mean, I run my things differently. You know, I learned everything the hard way just by trial and error. So, I mean, anybody can come to me and I'll tell them how I fucked up 100 times. But obviously, all those screw-ups has led to this. So it's kind of been, you know, instrumental. And I think that's where it works is because I have screwed up so many times and I'm very vocal about it that everybody wants to help bring this company up to be the largest. You know, I want to be the largest grease trap company in the nation. So I will be the largest grease trap company in the nation. So
it's right on.
It's not right a matter on. Of when it's, you know, I'd like to do it before 40 and that's coming up real fast. So, yeah,
I do the math, 86, coming real soon.
Real soon. 39 this year. So about a year and a half. So we got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm. So with that level of pursuit and competition, how are you keeping fear out of your team? How are you keeping the fear of making a mistake and the you know,
mistakes happen. That's the biggest thing is owning your mistakes and learning from it. Like I had, you know, it's everybody's going to fuck up and cause issues, right? It's just, if you make a mess, you know, like hoses are always going to break, you know, dumb things are going to happen. Like you didn't clamp your dog ears on the hoses to lock it into the truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hose bucks and it blows all over the parking lot. Like, yeah, that sucks. Clean it up. Right. So that's just really what it is. I mean, shit's always going to happen. It's what you do about it that turns it into whatever. So I think that's kind of where the guys are all on the same page. It's like, you know, screw ups are going to happen. It's inevitable, especially with waking up so early, being tired, you know, then our state being gray and gloomy majority of the year. It's like things are always going to come up. Just figure out a solution and make it happen.
So when shit happens like that, how are they bringing those things to you? Like, so you went on vacation for 2 weeks, and they let it all go. They didn't tell you a damn thing. You get back and hear all these things. What's your reaction to that?
Damn, that sucks.
Okay. All right. But the damn it sucks is better than standing on the table and jumping up going, what the fuck did you guys do while I was gone? Right. I mean,
but it's the other problem but the other thing is they already had solutions in place. So they weren't waiting around for me. Why are these bubbles keep popping up, Tyler?
Turn your hand down. Don't leave your thumb up.
You know, so that was where I was saying that I don't micromanage and I allow them to do whatever they want for the most part. And, you know, they got trucks towed in. They got the issue we had with the DOT. They got everything figured out. And, you know, like one of the axles snapped off our 8,000-gallon trailer when he is backing in to dump it. So nobody called me on that one. They fixed or they got it secured, drove the truck back, got a new axle ordered. It's like that kind of stuff. Just figure it out, you know? So, and they did. And that's phenomenal. And that's the stuff I like to see. That's, you know, like when a mess happens, it's not how do I clean this up? It's, hey, I clean this up. You know, what do we do next?
Mm-hmm. So, and there's a ton of leadership lessons to learn in how you are approaching that, because most leaders don't allow their staff the opportunity to learn through that.
Yeah.
They stand up and they pontificate and berate their employees. So, I mean, I can't applaud you enough for how you're approaching that to allow your team to learn. Like that is huge. Like Brad and I were talking a little earlier about issues that we see that we're brought in to help solve. And it's truly because people aren't allowed that opportunity to fail forward and learn.
Yeah. And I don't want to have to sit there and do their job for them. So at the end of the day, you know, either fail or learn from your mistakes. So, And, you know, I think that's been the biggest thing the last year is everybody's really growing individually, but as a team, most importantly. So that's huge for me.
Okay. It
makes my life easier for sure.
Yep.
So the big question here, what is the ultimate hunting trophy for you?
Oh,
that you're either have already achieved or are wanting to pursue.
I think it's changed. Instead of me getting a species, my almost 11-year-old boy went last year for his first time. So I think I really want to see him get his first buck this year.
Mm.
I think that'll be exciting. I think that'll mean more to me than going out and getting a big bull or a big buck. I think watching him shoot and take his first animal is going to be, I don't know. That's going to be a lot. I think it's going to be an emotional roller coaster, but I think it'll be exciting.
That answer right there tells everybody about your leadership style and why you are as successful as you are, as quickly as you are. That response right there is awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because like when my wife got her first buck, it was very hard. There was two really nice ones in Wyoming, and I was only focused on making sure her deer went down because we were, you know, with Wyoming being so checkerboarded with private and state land, we had to make sure it didn't leave the private or the state land and go on the private. So that was exciting watching her shoot her first buck. That was pretty cool.
Spectacular.
So, yeah.
All right, Steve, bring in Bite Your Tongue. Go ahead. Ooh, I'm sure he has something.
All right. So we incorporated this into the show is at some point along in your career, you've high probability, there are things that you may have said that you're like, oh shit, I should never have said this. is there anything that comes to mind of a situation that actually happened where you're like, oh shit, I shouldn't have said that?
And what'd you learn from it?
There's probably too many of those situations to really be specific.
Probably you don't have to name names.
Our industry, you know, we're immature, you know, like our trucks, when they're on vacuum, it's sucking. When they're discharging, it's blowing. So we use sexual innuendos constantly for what we do. So that's a very tricky question because our culture is to have fun, right? You know, hey, go blow him right now so we can get the trucks emptied, right? It's just that kind of, you know, life. One of my old sales managers, he was a bartender for too many years probably, and he had jokes all day long. I mean, there was never a day you didn't hear five jokes or the same five jokes. But we had to have a talk about the style of jokes he was saying, you know, especially being in the Seattle area. I'm like, dude, you're going to get me in a shit ton of trouble. So just calm down.
Especially for the customers that you're serving.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, but it was a good icebreaker. You know, he could walk in, tell a joke, and then it opened up the door. But for me, I don't know. I mean, I say a lot of dumb stuff all the time. So I don't know if I have a specific case. It's just,
what's a lesson you've learned from it?
Try to be more cautious. I don't know if that'll work, but try, I guess. That's the only thing I can do.
That is a true statement. So, DT, how, so if there's, we've been picking up some West Coast audience. If there's people that want to get a hold of you because they're in the restaurant industry, or they need grease traps cleaned, or they just want, there's other industry leaders that just say, hey, this would be a cool guy to talk to. How do people find you and get a hold of you?
West Coast or WCRenewables.com is our website. And then our phone number is 206-687-3772 or info@WCRenewables.com. Those are our main ways to get a hold of us. And then, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, and congratulations on the success you've created and the future success that you're going to generate for yourself, your team members, their families, the people you serve, et cetera, because it's all one big economic circle. And you're a big part of that. So thank you for doing what you do.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Oh yeah. We also have a YouTube channel we just started.
I got
a bunch of videos up, but there was a lot of real inappropriate stuff in it. So we ended up taking them down, and we're trying
to
get it up a little bit.
Come on.
We do a lot of churches and school districts. So we were trying you know, it was like, maybe not so much on the sexual things that we talk about, but, you know, we're trying to clean it up to really get back into the fun of our business. Right. You know, just right. Because it stinks, doesn't mean, you know, we can't have fun with it. So, you know, more educational videos so the cities can put it up, because we do a lot of work with the municipalities. So try to keep it like PG-13, maybe slightly into the R category. But yeah, the educational will keep definitely Y-rated or PG-rated. But yeah, we're trying to build that. I think it'll be fun to showcase some more of what we do.
That'll be spectacular. And showcase your audience. Showcase your customers.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's...
Well, that was one of the things we really wanted to do, was when we flipped the lights on at 2:00 in the morning and the rats scurry. You know, that was kind of one of those fun things we wanted to showcase. Or the, you
that's
know, the restaurants that are feeding the rats that get this big of bodies. And it's like, what are you feeding the rats for? So,
right.
You know, we wanted to showcase that without really shutting a restaurant down. But, you know, just... It's kind of odd. You're feeding rats and cats.
Yeah.
And then we never see the same cat twice. So, but yeah, just have fun with it. So.
Yeah. That owner's not going to be very happy about that, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, how are you going to feel if you go eat a cat for dinner thinking it's, what was that one that just came out? They were feeding, pigeons as duck at an Asian restaurant. That was funny.
Oh my.
Yeah. They got shut down. I don't know what state that was in, but that was funny.
Wow.
They're not even the same size.
It's only funny because I didn't eat it, but you know, it's yeah, that's comical.
Wow. That's freaking awesome.
So. Wow. We might have to do a second show of completely inappropriate things.
Yeah.
All right, I'm in. Man.
All right, DT, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your week, and we appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's good talking with you.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue collar businesses strong for generations to come.